Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, we will be talking about Tencent. Tencent is an investment holding company that provides value-added services and online advertising services in mainland China and internationally. Today, we will review the company's annual report to get a better idea of its business model. Then we'll look at the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. We'll perform a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis to find the intrinsic value of the company. And finally, look at the company's expected rate of return to see if we were to invest in the company at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on this investment? So let's dive in and review Tencent. Hey guys, let's start off by looking at Tencent's annual report. On page 176 of this report, the company provides us general information. It states that Tencent is an investment holding company. The company and its subsidiaries are primarily engaged in the provision of value-added services, online advertising services, and fintech and business services. On page 200 of the report, the company provides us information about how it recognizes its revenue across these segments. The report points out that the group generates revenue primarily from provisions of value-added services, online advertising services, fintech and business services, and other online-related services in China. Revenue is recognized when the control of goods or services is transferred to a customer. For the value-added services section, the company states that revenues from value-added services primarily includes the revenues from the provision of online games and social network services. Online game revenues are primarily derived from sales of in-game virtual items, and social networks revenues are primarily derived from sales of virtual items such as value-added services subscriptions across various online platforms and game revenues attributable to social networks business. Next is the online advertising services section. Over here, the company states that its online advertising revenues primarily comprise revenues derived from media advertising and from social and other advertisements, depending on the placement of advertising properties and inventories. On the next page, the company talks about fintech and business services. Fintech service revenues primarily include commissions from payments, wealth management, and other fintech services, which is generally determined as a percentage of the value of transaction amount or retention amount. And Tencent's cloud services are primarily charged on either subscription or consumption basis. On the next page, Tencent talks about its other revenues. It states that the group's other revenues are primarily derived from production of and distribution of film and television programs for third parties, copyright licensing, merchandise sales, and various other activities. Next, on page 225 of this report, the company provides us segment information and revenue breakdown. We can see that the group has four reportable segments: the value-added services segment, online advertising segment, fintech and business services, and others. On the next page, the company breaks down revenue across these operating segments. We can see that in the year 2020, the value-added services segment brought in more than half of the company's total revenue. The fintech and business services segment came in second as it brought in about 128 billion renminbi, and the online advertising segment brought in about 82 billion renminbi. When we compare the 2020 operating revenues to those of 2019, we can see that each operating segment, that is the value-added services, online advertising, as well as fintech business services, saw an increase in the year 2020 when compared to that of 2019. On the next page, the company provides this revenue breakdown by geography. We can see that Tencent does majority of its business in China. As for the year 2020, about $448 billion out of the $482 billion of revenue came from mainland China. After that, Tencent points out its operating assets and investments across various parts of the world. We can see that for the year 2020, majority of the company's operating assets are located in mainland China. Next, Tencent talks about its investment portfolio. So Tencent is actually a holding company, and it has investments in various marketable securities across the world. Tencent is invested in companies such as JD.com, NIO, Snap, Tesla, and so forth. Tencent's investment portfolio shows that it has about 416 billion renminbi invested in mainland China and Hong Kong, and about 142 billion renminbi invested in North America. Finally, on page 26 of this report, the company provides us information about the total amount of money held in its investment portfolio. The company points out that as of December 31st, 2020, its investment portfolio amounted to approximately 691 billion renminbi. When we perform the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis later in the video, we will be using this amount in our calculations to find the true intrinsic value of Tencent. Now that we have a brief understanding of Tencent's reportable segments and its revenue breakdown, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. Hey guys, now let's look at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Tencent. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. All the numbers here are in millions of Chinese yuan. Back in 2011, the company brought in about 28.5 billion yuan, and for the year 2020, it was about 482 billion yuan. We can see that Tencent's revenue has been increasing every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is what we get when we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2011, the company's operating income was about 11.8 billion yuan, and for the year 2020, it was about 128 billion yuan. Similar to the trend of the company's revenue, we can see that Tencent's operating income has also been increasing every year for the past 10 years. After that, looking at the net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2011, Tencent's net income was about 10 billion yuan, and for the year 2020, it was about 160 billion yuan. Just like the trend for the company's operating income and revenue, the company's net income has also been increasing every year for the past 10 years. Ideally, we want to see the company's revenue, operating income, and net income to be a positive number, staying steady or increasing, and we are seeing a growth all across the board, which is certainly something that we want to see as shareholders. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2011, Tencent paid out about 0.09 yuan per share as dividend, and for the year 2020, it paid out about 1.11 yuan per share as dividend. It's good to see that Tencent has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. After that, looking at the shares outstanding, back in 2011, Tencent had 9,293 million shares outstanding, and for the trailing 12 months, it had 9,650 million shares outstanding. Tencent shares outstanding numbers have grown over the past 10 years, which is common for a high-growth company, as the company is trying to do equity financing in order to grow its business. Next is the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the total liabilities from the company's total assets. Back in 2011, Tencent's book value was about 43 cents per share, and for the trailing 12 months, it's about $11.34 per share. Tencent's book value per share has always been positive, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2011, Tencent's free cash flow was about 8.5 billion yuan, and for the year 2020, it was about 128 billion yuan. I will be using the past 10 years of free cash flows for my expected rate of return calculation, and I will be using the 2020 figure of 127,520 million yuan for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow to be positive, staying steady or increasing, and we can see that Tencent's free cash flow over the past 10 years has always been positive and is trending upwards. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2011, the company's net margin was about 35.81%, and for the year 2020, it was about 33.16%. What this means is every $100 that Tencent made in the year 2020, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had about $33.16 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2011, Tencent's return on equity was about 41%, and for the year 2020, it was about 28%. Tencent's return on equity has been greater than 8% every year for the past 10 years. After that, looking at the return on invested capital. This number gives an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2011, Tencent's return on invested capital was about 39%, and for the year 2020, it was about 19.65%. Tencent's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 3.6%. And since the company's return on invested capital is much greater than the company's weighted average cost of capital, we can safely say that the company's management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage compares the company's income to its interest obligations in that calendar year. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2011, the company's interest coverage was about 47 times, and for the year 2020, it was about 25 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities whose interest coverage was greater than 5 times. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose current ratio is greater than 1. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. A current ratio greater than 1 tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Back in 2011, the company's current ratio was 1.67, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.18. Over the past 10 years, Tencent's current ratio has always been greater than 1.0. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's quick ratio was at 1.34, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.04. Tencent's latest quarter current and quick ratios point out that the company has enough oxygen in its system to survive for another 12 months. Next is the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's financial leverage was at 2.0, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.89. We can see that the company's financial leverage over the past 10 years has stayed fairly consistent. Now let's look at the company's efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. The day sales outstanding number tells us that how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sales to the day it actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2011, the company's day sales outstanding was about 24 days, and for the year 2020, it was about 31 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. However, an increasing day sales outstanding number tells us that the company may be aggressive with its accounting, as it is trying to recognize its sales sooner so that it can inflate its income numbers on its income statement. Next is the day's inventory. This number gives us an idea of how many days does Tencent's products sit in its inventory before they're sold. Back in 2012, the company's day's inventory was about 11.39 days, and for the year 2020, it was about 1.07 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing, and we can see that Tencent's day's inventory number has been decreasing. Next, looking at the payables period, this number gives us an idea of how many days does Tencent take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2011, the company took about 66.63 days to pay its suppliers, and for the year 2020, it took about 122 days to pay its suppliers. Ideally, we want to see the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. An increasing payables period may indicate that the company may be trying to hoard on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers. Finally, looking at the cash conversion cycle. The cash conversion cycle is simply day sales outstanding plus the day's inventory minus the payables period. So the cash conversion cycle gives an idea of how many days does the company sit around with its cash before it actually makes its payments. A negative cash conversion cycle simply means that the company receives its cash a lot sooner than when it actually has to make its payments. We want to see a company with negative cash conversion cycle, and that is what we're seeing in the case of Tencent. Now let's compare Tencent's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price to earnings ratio. Tencent's PE is at 28, whereas S&P 500 is at 26.5. Tencent's price to book is at 6.3, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.4. Tencent's price to sales is at 9.3, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. Tencent's price to cash flow is at 23, whereas S&P 500 is at 17.6. Finally, the dividend yield. Tencent has a dividend yield of 0.3%, whereas S&P 500 has a yield of 1.5%. We can see that on all these valuation metrics, Tencent is overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for Tencent. Over here, I pasted the company's 2020 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was actually 127 billion 520 million yuan. The current exchange rate right now is 1 Chinese yuan is equal to 0.15 US dollars, which means that the 2020 free cash flow number is actually 19,128 million dollars. Next, I'm assuming the annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 7%. What this means is I expect Tencent's free cash flow to grow at 7% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me a 10% return. I'm assuming the long-term growth rate to be 5%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect Tencent's free cash flow to grow at 5%. The company has 9,650 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $35,130 million. I got this number from Tencent's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get Tencent's intrinsic value to be about $44.15 per share. When we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about $71.50 per share, we can see that the company's current stock price is trading about 1.62 times the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $165 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $461 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $44.15. Now, if we add Tencent's investment portfolio with its marketable securities to this intrinsic value, we get the intrinsic value with its marketable portfolio to be about $55 per share. If we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if we think that Tencent is only going to survive for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $13.44 per share. And finally, if we disregard the debt, in other words, if we think that Tencent is going to grow into perpetuity, so there is no point for the company to worry about its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $48 per share. Finally, we know that the company's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 3.6%. And if we add a 4% margin of safety on top of that and make our discount rate 7.6%, then we get the intrinsic value to be about $91 per share. And in this situation, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 21% below the company's intrinsic value. And if we include the company's investment portfolio, the intrinsic value comes to about $102 per share. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for Tencent. Over here, I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flows that I got from Morningstar. I converted all these free cash flows from Chinese yuan to US dollars by using a conversion rate of 1 Chinese yuan being equal to 0.15 US dollars. So all the numbers that we see here are in millions of US dollars. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get over the past 10 years. We can see that the yearly free cash flows have been trending upwards. Next, looking at the future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 35% likelihood that Tencent's free cash flow will grow at 10%, a 50% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 6%, and a 15% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 3%. These are the potential free cash flow raise that we get into the future. After taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is at 9,650 million shares, at the current stock price of about $71.5 per share, we can expect to get an annual return of about 2.3% on this investment. What this means is, if you were to purchase a share of Tencent at the current stock price of about $71.5 per share and hold this security through 2060, we can expect to get an annual return of about 2.3% on this investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We briefly went over Tencent's annual report. We saw that the company has four reportable segments, and majority of the company's revenue comes from its value-added services segment. Tencent's revenue, operating income, as well as net income have been growing every year for the past 10 years. Additionally, the company has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. However, Tencent's shares outstanding numbers have been growing, which tells us that the company is doing equity financing in order to finance its growth. Tencent's return on equity has been greater than 8% every year for the past 10 years. The company's return on invested capital is greater than its weighted average cost of capital, which means that the company's management is creating value for its shareholders. Tencent's interest coverage is also greater than 5x. When we looked at the company's financial and liquidity ratios, we saw that the current and quick ratio indicated that the company has enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities. Moreover, the company's financial leverage and debt-to-equity ratios have stayed fairly consistent over the past 10 years. After that, we noticed that on all the current valuation metrics, Tencent was overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. When we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis using a 10% discount rate, Tencent's intrinsic value with its investment portfolio came out to about $55 per share, and when we dropped the discount rate to 7.6%, the intrinsic value with its investment portfolio came to about $102 per share. After that, we performed the expected rate of return calculation and found out that if you were to invest in Tencent at the current stock price of about $71.5 per share, we can expect to get an annual return of about 2.3% on this investment. Overall, Tencent is fundamentally a strong company. It has a long roadway of growth ahead and also has an investment portfolio with a lot of marketable securities across the world. However, when we focus on the opportunity cost, we know that there are other investment opportunities in China, such as Alibaba, that are cheap, provide a greater margin of safety, and are better bang for our buck than Tencent. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Tencent interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.